Amen. Colossians chapter 1, if you have your Bibles tonight, Colossians chapter 1. I was reminded of this passage during our Bible conference with Brother Stewart, and he had mentioned a lot about the deity of Christ in creation. But it would have been impossible for him to break down everything that he kind of skimmed over the top of a lot, because he had to get a lot of information in and across. And we literally could have had our Bible conference for months for him to break down everything. But I was excited as I was reminded of this passage, Colossians chapter 1. And we've looked some at this passage as we've looked at the deity of Christ. We've looked some at it when we consider that Christ is to have preeminence in his house. That means he is to be first and foremost in his house. And we're going to look Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. And we're going to break this down tonight. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this time in your house once again. Just ask you to give me the words you'd have me to say tonight. Trust we leave strengthened, encouraged, and challenged by these truths. In Jesus' name, amen. It's important every so often that we just take a look at and be reminded of the deity of Christ. Nothing has been more attacked in the pages of Scripture than the deity, which also ties in with the resurrection. Many in the world, even in false religions, who would reject that Christ was God robed in the flesh, would still accept Christ as a good man, but nothing more than that. So they're fine that a good man lived. They're even fine that a good man died. But when they get to a good man resurrecting, then you lose them at that point. But why? Because it takes someone more than just a good man to rise from the grave. This man must be Christ. This man must be the Son of the living God. So they reject deity when they refuse to believe what Christ was able to accomplish in his deity. Christ possessed in his deity all of the Godhead fully. In verse 15, he's referring to the Son of the Father, Jesus Christ. Verse 15 is saying that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Jesus took on the image of the person of God being deity, yet while he was on this earth, he was robed in flesh. He was God in the flesh. God took on form when he sent his one and only Son to the earth to die on the cross for our sins. We often use the term the God-man. One commentator says he is the image of the invisible God, not as man was made in the image of God in his natural faculties and dominion over the creatures. He is the express image of his person. He is so the image of God as the Son is the image of his Father, who has natural likeness to him, so that he who has seen him has seen the Father. And his glory was the glory of the only begotten of the Father. So no man has ever seen God, because God takes on no physical form. In John 4 and verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So it would indeed suggest that God has no outward image. Now, next, the firstborn of every creature. Another commentator says he is the firstborn of every creature, not that he is himself a creature. He existed before all the creation, or before any creature was made, which is the Scripture's way of representing eternity, and by which the eternity of God is represented to us. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was, when there was no depth, before the mountains were settled, while as yet he had not made earth. So Christ was before all, because as God was and is, Christ has always been. This is an area that leaves us scratching our heads at times, how something or someone can be in existence that was not born, created, or invented. One of the first questions I asked as a child was, how could someone always be? Because in our minds, it does not make sense. Everything in our minds was at one point invented or born. But God has always been. The Holy Spirit has always been. Jesus Christ has always been. And you take it by faith. But God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost has always been. God knew before he created man that man would choose to willfully disobey and sin against God. It's been said that the devil links himself to knowledge. He was there in the garden and he's never left. But God had already chosen his Son to come to this earth, robed in flesh, to die on the cross for our sins. We see that Jesus was before all, as we pick up in verse 16, and that all things were created by him. So we're still talking about the Son of the Father here, Jesus Christ, in context. Many critics point back to Genesis and say, but God said, let there be light. But God spoke everything into existence. Genesis 1, people get to this, and then they go to Colossians, and they cry contradiction, but not if you believe in the Trinity. They are the same person. It speaks to Christ being deity here also in Colossians. It speaks to him having the same powers as God himself. It speaks to them being one and the same, the triune Godhead, the Trinity, the three in one. We stand on the Trinity because you cannot explain the Trinity away if you're using your Bible. Some try to argue the Trinity. They'll say that the word Trinity is not in the Bible. That's true. The word triune is not in the Bible. They're right on that. Neither of those words are in your King James Bible, but God the Father is, and God the Son is, and God the Holy Ghost is. They're all in your King James Bible. And these three make up the eternal Godhead. And for simplicity reason, we use words like Trinity. We use words like triune. But God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. We see in verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. So the word all, as we've covered many times, is a very simple word, but sometimes it's crazy how even such a simple word like all is so confusing at times to people. But all literally means all. It is all-encompassing. All things up above, heaven, all things down below. You think of earth down below, things that are unseen, things that are seen, whether it be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. He's the creator of the angels, including the fallen angels. That now have dominion and principality and powers here on the earth. Hell was created by him for him to cast all the fallen angels and the devil himself. Others will end up there, though the Bible is clear that hell was not created for them. In verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Again, we have another reminder that Christ was here before it all. If you're going to create something, it only makes sense that the Creator be around before the creation. Before means preceding in time. So Christ was before all that he created. Consist means to stand together, to be fixed or permanent state, as a body composed of parts in union or connection, hence to be, to exist, to subsist, to be supported and maintained. So God's signature and stamp of approval is on all that he created, and he created it in a way that it requires him to hold it together. It exists by him. So it was not only created by him, but it exists by him. That everything, we would know it like that if God let go of everything there was that he was holding together. That'd be it. That'd be it. It'd be over with, because God let it go. You know, it's amazing to me, but you think about even the end times. All the Lord would have to do was send the sun just a little closer to the earth than what it is, and we're gone. That's it. This earth ain't nothing. It'd be poof. just by letting the sun go a little bit close, we'd be burned up. They said the sun wouldn't even have to hit the earth before we'd be gone. So the Lord not only created everything, but it exists by Him and for Him. Without Him, it would be no more. So again, not only did He create it, He holds it all together. So science does not disprove God. It proves there is a God. Now, I want you to listen to something here for a minute. It's interesting. I read this recently. According to a 2018 study surveying the genetic barcodes of 5 million animals from more than 100,000 animal species, all humans may be descended from just two people. This is a study. And a catastrophic event may have wiped out all species. The scientists who headed the study, Mark Stokel and David Thaler, concluded that 90% of all animal species today came from parents that all began giving birth at roughly the same time. This conclusion is very surprising, Thaler admitted, and I fought against it as hard as I could. This study confirms the Genesis account of Adam and Eve, of animals being created the same week as humans, and a worldwide flood. So notice Thaler fought it. Probably tried every way that he could to distort it, as many scientists do. You see, it would probably amaze us at the amount of scientists that don't truly reveal what they found, what they discovered. They'll twist it to fit their agenda. They'll twist it to who pays them. Real science, true science, proves the Word of God to be true. God set it up to where with all man's wisdom and knowledge combined, you'd have to be fraudulent with your findings to try and disprove His Word. The rest of the article, and plus a little bit of another, which is interesting, the Bible written over 2,000 years ago is devoid of any scientific error. A few examples of scientific facts or principles written in scriptures long before they were discovered by scientists are the following. We're going to kind of go through some of this list here. Air has weight. That's in Job 28, verse 25. The shape of the earth is mentioned in Isaiah 40, in verse 22. It's a round earth. Gravity can be found in Job 26, and verse 7. Both male and female possess the seed of life. That's Genesis 3:15, which means it takes both to form life. There's a place void of stars in the north. That's Job 26 and verse 7. Earth is held in place by invisible forces. That's Job 26 and verse 7, which we know that invisible force is God. Taxonomic classification of matter. That's in Genesis 1. Certain animals carry diseases harmful to man. That's Leviticus 11. Early diagnosis of leprosy, Leviticus 13. Quarantine for disease control, that's Leviticus 13. It wasn't until 2020 when we quarantined the healthy. Blood of animals carry diseases, Leviticus 17. Blood is necessary for life, Leviticus 17, 11. The most seaworthy ship design ratio is 30 by 5 by 3. That's in Genesis 6. Science says the perfect ratio for building a large vessel is 30 by 5 by 3. Ships that we know of outside of the Ark that was built to that specification is the Great Britain and the SS Jeremiah O'Brien. So that's interesting to me. That's ship design ratio that's found in Genesis 6. Light is a particle and has mass. It's a photon. Job 38 and verse 19. Radio astronomy, that's stars giving off signals. Job 38 and verse 7. Oceans contain fresh water springs. Job 38 and verse 16. Snow has material value. That's Job 38 and verse 22. There's an infinite number of stars that exist. Genesis 15 and verse 5. Dust is important to survival. Imagine that. Dust is important to survival. Lost my spot. Isaiah 40 and verse 12. Hubert Spencer's scientific principles found in Genesis 1, which is interesting to me when somebody puts their name on something that God revealed first. Light can be split up into component colors. That's Job 38 and verse 24. Matter is made up of invisible particles. Romans 1:20. Plants use sunlight to manufacture food. Job 8 and verse 16, which is photosynthesis. Arcturus and other stars move through space. That's Job 38 verses 22. We read about the water cycle in Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 7. Lightning and thunder are related in Job 38 and verse 25. And I read something one point that said, remember that lightning is thunder's hot-headed brother. They go together. Human beings were the last things created, Genesis 1. Atmospheric circulation can be found in Ecclesiastes 1:6. Ocean currents can be found in Psalms 8 and verse 8. The hydraulic cycle can be found in Ecclesiastes 1:7 and Isaiah 55:10. And lastly, the second law of thermodynamics is outlined in Psalm 102, 25 through 27 in Romans 8 and verse 21. So God has not eluded science. Science has eluded God. God is the creator of it all. Without science, this world would fall apart. And I'm not against science. If you've never seen the documentary, How Big Is God, I invite you to watch it. Maybe at some point we'll have a special day or something, special event or something, and watch that, that documentary on How Big Is God. It's amazing how it just... What is out there? I mean, it's amazing how big it is, and just to know that God holds it all together. I encourage you to take a look into a telescope at some point and just behold the beauty of space. Or go to a planetarium. But while you gaze and wonder and marvel at the creation, keep the Creator at the forefront of your minds. Let it confirm God's word and increase your faith. Even more. You know, what I'm against at times, I'm against people studying the creation more than the Creator. I'm against people loving the creation more than the Creator. And I love the outdoors. I do. I love the outdoors. And I've been to different parts of the country and different parts at times of the world when I was in the military. And I tell you, I like what I see just about everywhere I went. You know, I like it. I am appreciative of just about everything outdoors. I'd rather be outdoors than indoors, honestly. I am appreciative of it. And so many people, they take their appreciation to idolatry. Nothing short of idolatry. People worship the sun, they worship the moon, they worship the stars, they worship the trees, they worship the grass, they worship cows in some parts of the country. I mean, they'll worship anything but God. So I'm against people worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. The earliest understanding that man has recorded for all those scientific findings that I just read are the 15th century all the way up to the 1940s and even the 1960s. But had we as people spent more time worshiping and loving and studying the Creator, we wouldn't be so slow in our scientific findings. The smartest man is only as smart as his knowledge and application of Scripture. All these things, some men tried to take credit for their discovery. But God created it. You know, without God, there'd be no gravity. I'm thankful for gravity. I like to be on the ground. I'm thankful for it. I worry about flying because it defies gravity. What if it quits defying, you know, while I'm up there? You know, I get nervous. I get nervous about that stuff. I like to be on the ground. I praise the Lord for gravity. We need gravity. We need ocean currents also to aid in the circle of life. It's amazing how something dies over here and the Lord has a way to send it down through here, down through the channels to get it somewhere else where something else needs to eat. It aids in the circle of life. It's amazing how something can die on our shore or something and make its way over on Japan on their shore somehow. I mean, it travels. Things move. You know, we wouldn't have science without God. So we got good science and we got false science. You know, false science seeks to disprove Scripture. It seeks to make God out to be a liar. While good science, it comes along and it proves the accuracy of Scripture. Good science proves the Bible to be infallible. It proves the Bible to be without error. Every word holy and pure, even the jots and the tittles. I watched some type of debate once between some creationists and evolutionists. And what was different about this particular documentary or whatever the debate that I watched was that usually the evolutionist would claim to be unsaved. Or not necessarily claim to be unsaved, but they wouldn't believe in God. Usually a lot of evolutionists are also atheists. You know, but this time it was a debate between supposed saved evolutionists. So there was Christian creationists on one side, and then there was supposed Christian evolutionists on the other side. And there were about 50, and all of the evolutionists professed to be saved. And again, half one side creationists, other side evolutionists. And if someone believes in evolution, which is contrary to Scripture, then in their minds, then creation is not true. There's a part of the Bible that is not true to them. I was thinking once, how could someone be saved that doesn't believe in creation? And then I got to thinking, the same way that someone could be saved and not believe what God says about alcohol, or lying, or gossiping, or gluttony. You know, salvation is by faith through grace in what Christ has done for us on the cross. And I stand firmly on the fact that if you disbelieve any portion of the Scripture, you'll doubt more than just that portion. You'll have a weak faith. You could be saved, but you'll have a weak faith. And your life will exemplify a weak faith. You know, we have to get to the point where we say if it's God's word, and if God's word says it, then we accept it regardless of how we feel about it. You cannot get away from creation in Scripture. That Christ created everything as he preceded everything. And again, we read in Colossians chapter 1. In verses 15 through 17. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.